You're listening to Rosie on the House.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
It's the first Saturday of the month, so we're talking farm fresh, and June is National Dairy Month, so we've brought in Julie Murphy with the Arizona Farm Bureau to talk about the dairy's portion of Arizona's agricultural wheel, which represents about $23 billion to the state, and dairy is hand-in-hand with beef at the top of the wheel consistently.
Yes, and right now, dairy happens to be at the top. I had it wrong there a while ago. That rotates. And of course, Kevin looks at me and says, I can hardly believe that because our milk prices are so low for the dairy farmer. But dairy right now holds it, according to the USDA or the United States Department of Ag, the top leaderboard for our ag commodities here in the state of Arizona.
Which blows my mind when you get to the end of this hour and really process the amount of effort it goes into a 4-gallon jug of milk. It should be like $12. I'm sure Kevin Danzeisen agrees.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it doesn't need to be that high, but we always have something to complain about, I guess.
We have Kevin Danzeisen of Danzeisen Dairy. If you've not seen the wonderful glass milk bottles that are back in the shelves, that's you have his family dairy to thank for that. I've got so many questions, but let's just start with that. I don't know what it was, but the first time I saw milk back in a glass jar, I'm like, why did that ever go away?
Yeah, that's a good question. We wanted to bring it back to Arizona. Had it been here for 20 or 30 years, and it's caught on pretty good.
It has. Now, where do you get these?
The bottles?
Mm-hmm.
The bottles are actually made in Chicago, and they get shipped over here, but... as you know, they're refillable. So we wash them and refill them over and over and over again.
And as a consumer buying a Danzeisen glass jar, I just bring it back to the grocery store when I'm done, or do I have to bring it back down to the dairy for recycling?
You can bring it back to the store, and every store has the capability of doing it right at the checkout. So you don't have to go to customer service or anything. But anywhere our milk is sold, you can bring the bottles back.
And you guys do have a good return with the bottles. The fun thing that I like to say, though, is that there's a lot missing on the return because a lot of our families are taking them and turning them into part of their decor,
yes.
Especially if they have this country swag going on in their house.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, there's probably quite a few in people's garages out there, too. But
I'm pretty sure our 1-quart eggnog from Christmas has a couple flowers in it over the top of the cabinets.
Exactly. I know I've got my Danzeisen bottles there, so.
All right. Now, this is just one dairy, though. You represent one of how many dairies in Arizona?
We're just under 100, and those are all family-owned. They might be incorporated, but we're hover around that 80 to 90 to 100 commercial dairies here in the state of Arizona that are family-owned.
And how many cows will I find at a dairy?
So this is a fun story. I'll tell real fast. They range from maybe one of our smallest dairies is just under 1,000 all the way up to 10 to 14,000 head in it. So we have large dairies, but compared to the Midwest, even our smallest dairy is pretty large because in the Midwest, the dairies are quite a bit smaller.
Any idea why?
Kevin, I think you should answer that question.
Well, my grandpa came here, and he never really started small, right? I mean, compared to what the Midwest was like, those dairies started way back, sometimes even in the 30s, 20s, 30s, and 40s, where we're kind of more modern here. Those people moved here and started with 500 or 600 and just grew from there. So I think that's one of the biggest things. And just to be out west in general, not just in Arizona, but as people move this way— you know, we just got more efficient. We can make milk for quite a bit cheaper with more cows.
And we got lots of flat land.
Yeah.
We do. And Kevin, you said something too, just because of the heat, how efficient our dairy farmers have had to become.
Yeah.
Expound on that a little bit.
Well, I've always said this, and I don't want to say it just because I'm one of them, but I think the Arizona dairy farmer here in Arizona, we're lucky because I know most of them. And to be honest with you, they're one of the smartest group of farmers you can dairy farmers as a group you can be, because we have this heat to manage, and it's a lot of management. You got to be really, really. It's we're using technology more and more to cool these cows, and you just have to be on your management game to keep to stay in business and keep it going, because the fluctuations are so much. So I maintain that still as long as I'm still part of it, I guess. But there's a lot better dairy farmers out there than me.
And most of those 100 dairy farms, Maricopa, Pinal, pretty much down in the flats. You don't see a lot up in the mountains or high country.
No, a lot of that has to do with feed. You know, we feed a lot of alfalfa hay here. We're lucky to have some of the best alfalfa hay grown in the world right here. And so once you get further up, it's kind of hard to truck.
Your transportation costs start to rise. There was one outside of Congress at the base of Yarnell Hill that I think last time I drove that last couple times, it seems like that place is shut down.
Yeah, it's been shut down for a while. 2009 was a really rough time for the dairy industry, and he shut down in that time period.
Mm. That's a big vacant lot still just sitting there.
Yeah, he has the same issue. It's just hard to get feed all the way up in there because there's no farm ground.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Why you see miles and miles of ag and then a big old feedlot dairy farm right in the middle.
Yeah.
What else other than alfalfa are you feeding your herd?
Well, here in Arizona, we feed a lot of corn silage. You'll see corn being grown right now. That gets harvested here in the beginning of July. But we also feed, we're using, our farm specifically uses a lot of sorghum silage. BMR is Brown Midridge is a big thing here. It uses a little bit less water and it's higher digestible for the cow. And then we mix you know, a cow needs a balanced diet. It's really important to have the right amount of protein, the right amount of energy, the right amount of fiber. Every time a cow takes a bite of feed, you want it to be the exact same. They love consistency. That's what they want. And so what we do is we take that hay and that sorghum or corn silage, some sort of silage, and we mix grains and we mix it in these big mixers, and we make sure it's nice and consistent. And we feed them in front of the cows two or three times a day. So there's all kinds of we have about 13 ingredients in our ration right now that gets mixed in.
And you told me you feed them for health.
Yeah, we talk about that. That's the most important thing. So our cows right now average about 10 gallons per cow per day. And that seems like a lot. And people will be like, oh, my goodness, that's so much milk. Well, the average, the reason that is because we feed the cow for health. And the milk production that comes is a result of health. So the healthier the cow is, the more milk they give. So what we're trying to do is we're learning more about nutrition every single day. And we know exactly what a cow needs when at certain times in her life period. And because of that, we're getting them healthier and healthier, and the milk production comes next.
And when you're talking about 10, did you say 10 gallons a day or 10 pounds a day?
10
gallons a day. How long will a good cow keep that rate going?
Well, so in a perfect world, a cow will have a calf every year. And so, you know, she'll have 5 to 7 calves. And so this is how in her life. And so she'll be 7 to 9 years old or something like that, or 5 to 7 years old by the time it's all said and done. So in a perfect world, a cow will have a calf. The cow that had a calf today will have a calf the same day next year. And what we do is, as soon as she has a calf, we milk her for 305 days, and then we give her a resting period from 306 days to 365 days. So that's what we want. That's what we're striving for in a perfect world. Now, every cow's different. They don't get pregnant on time and all that, but that's what we're striving for.
So in that perfect situation, you said you milk for 305 days out of the year, and that's at 10 gallons on average per day. So you're over 3,000 gallons per year, and you'll how many years?
Five. So why would we say, you know, 15,000 to 18,000 gallons each cow?
So wow. Kevin, I told you that Romy was gonna ask you some figures here, and those are fun figures to learn about.
And what's gallon per milk right now? Price per gallon?
Well, we get paid on 100 weight. It's about right now. It's around $14 per hundredweight, and there's 11.52 gallons.
It's going to take through the break to finish this. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out on 15,000 gallons, and what is that income equate to?
Well, I mean, it's hard.
The mathematician here.
Yeah, you've got to.
It's hard to say because milk prices fluctuate like crazy.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, like that's the name of the game. But what part you're not thinking about there is how much it costs to feed those girls every single day too, and that fluctuates like crazy too. So, you know, hay prices go up and hay prices go down, and so it's not always a money making proposition, let me tell you.
Well, I believe it. We do our own beef raising, and every time I've done it, I know we could get it cheaper at the store.
Yeah,
not a whole lot. But at the end of the day, when it all comes through and you're done with your feed and your harvesting and your meat hanging and your butchering and packaging and storing and
shrink,
all that. But it's fun and we enjoy it and it tastes good.
Yeah,
I'm not quite the mathematician my son is, and I'm proudly displaying the Dan Zeeson milk mustache right now. This is really good milk.
Well, and you said
now,
this is
how
coffee?
Long ago? How long ago was this in the cow's udder?
That's a funny way of saying it. But yeah. Well,
from udder, udder to mouth.
And you know what?
From udder to utterly delightful experience.
Well, that is a question. What's the process from being milked to your table? But we'll have to jump into that right after this.